Let's bow our heads as we prepare for the teaching of God's Word. 1 John 1:9 says that we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's important that you as a believer is in fellowship. The reason for that is so that we can receive the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. If you're in carnality and rebellion against God, you cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. So it's important to acknowledge your sins. If you're already in fellowship, just pray for concentration on the teaching of God's Word. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for yet another day to honor and glorify you. We know that this is a day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Lord, this is the day when your Savior, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, rose bodily from the dead. And we celebrate it not only on Easter, but on every Sunday, Father. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the living Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the living Word. We pray that you might sanctify us now through your truth, because your Word is truth. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Revelation chapter 13, verse 16. Here we're continuing in the beast from the earth. And last week we dealt with the fact that the false prophet causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. Verse 17 says that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. So here, he causes all refers back to the verse 16, the false prophet. And he demands, regardless of class distinction, regardless of monetary income, regardless of social status, all to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. Now, the right hand on their forehead would indicate the place of dedication or service. We serve with our hands, and many times the hands in Scripture are used of service. The forehead would indicate our mind or thinking. So demanding the mark on the right hand or on their forehead would indicate that their body and their minds are completely dedicated to the Antichrist. It's an identification and a dedication to the Antichrist, and that's why the particular place of the mark, showing their association with the Antichrist and his rulership. Now, Daniel chapter 12, verse 7 indicates this will happen during the tribulation period. In Daniel 12, 7, then I heard a man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever. Notice the right hand is used of dedication, that it should be for a time, time, and a half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. So the persecution of the tribulation, including the partaking of the mark, will occur in the period of time as Daniel described, such was never since was a nation, in verse 12, verse 1. And that will be for a period of 3.5 years. Revelation chapter 7, verse 3. Let's take a look at that passage. Revelation 7, verse 3. Notice there's a mark upon the servants of God and their foreheads, indicating dedication. Here, though, we have God's mark upon the 144,000 witnesses. The angel said, saying, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees till we have sealed the servant of God on their foreheads. Notice, same position where the mark of the beast will be. Here, though, we have the 144,000 receiving a mark on the forehead, indicating dedication to the Lord. So we have competing dedications, dedicating to the Lord or a complete dedication and service to the Antichrist. The 144,000 are mentioned once again in chapter 14, verse 1. Then I looked and behold a lamb standing on Mount Zion with him, 144,000, having his father's name. Notice, his father's name written on their foreheads. So this would indicate an identification or an association with 144,000, his father's name. Here we have the identification or name of the Antichrist, and that's identified with the number 666. We'll get into later what that means. Now, the location of the hands and forehead places most conspicuous to the observer. That's another important reason for the position. The forehead is easily seen. The hand is easily seen. So this won't be some kind of hidden tattoo in some mysterious place, but this will be visible to all, including the grocery store owners and those whom they go to buy food or to sell. It will be automatically identified. It won't be some kind of invisible under the skin mark or chip or anything like that. It will be something that will be easily identified. And that, therefore, that's the purpose on the forehead or on the hand, as you see in this depiction here. Now, the Bible speaks precisely about what the mark will be. And I want to summarize about this mark because there's a lot of misinformation and false teaching by prophecy teachers concerning this mark, especially by those who love to speculate. And therefore, there's all kinds of computer chips and hidden numbers and hidden serial numbers on our dollar bills and that add up to 666 and all kinds of weird stuff out there about the identification of the mark, including Social Security cards with 666 and all this nonsense. But I want to look at the biblical record. We always have to go back to the Bible. The Bible clearly indicates the details about this mark, and so we need to pay attention to the details of the text and not human speculation. Now, a lot of this information comes from Mark Hitchcock's great book. He has several books out on Bible prophecy. He attended Dallas Seminary around the same time I did. I didn't know him personally then, but I believe we had one class together with Dr. Waller. I'm not sure of that, but Mark later on went to write a lot of books. He's ministering now in Edmond, Oklahoma, has a tremendous ministry, a very accurate teacher of the Word of God. But this is what he says as far as the Scripture is concerned. And let's take a look in Revelation chapter 13, and we'll look at the proof for this. I added the verses to his points. First of all, the Antichrist mark is identified with his person. His mark is associated with his person. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. Notice in verse 17 it says the number of his name. See that in verse 17? The number of his name. So the mark is identified with his person. Secondly, it's the actual number 666. Not a representation. It says, for is the number of the man. His number is 666. So I believe it will be the actual number 666, not something that represents it. And we'll see what the 666 later means. It's a mark like a tattoo. The word mark by itself in verse 17, the mark, literally means a tattoo. Something placed upon the skin, not beneath it. So that eliminates so-called computer chips or codes or all that. It will be literally upon the skin, visible to all, like a tattoo. And it's no surprise, and we live in a culture today, and I would be amazed at the number, the percentages of high school students who have tattoos. The number must be very high. You know, I would guess it would be 70-80%. It's just amazing. It's almost every teenager has a tattoo now. And so the culture today is moving toward that direction. Oh, we get another tattoo, 666, cool. That's great. Let's take it. So that idea, tattoo craziness of our society is, I think, headed to eventually the worldwide demand for a tattoo, but it will be identification with Satan and his man of sin. Then it'll be visible to the naked eye. Again, it's a mark that's visible to all. Why? No one can buy or sell except you have the mark. Obviously, others will have to identify it. So you want to walk in the grocery store, you know, there has to be an identification of that mark. It's easily seen and visible to the naked eye. It's on you, not in you. And I think this is a key here in verse 16. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. Underscore the word on their right hand, not underneath it, embedded chip, on their forehead. Epi is upon. Greek preposition there represented upon. On or upon, not in you. It's recognized, once again, not questioned. As we notice, it's needed to buy or purchase or sell. So it's not questioned, it's easily recognized. It's voluntary, not involuntary. Thus not given to deception. Even though it's demanded here, the whole world, not everyone participates in this. There are those who refuse the mark of the beast. The simple fact is, you can't buy food. Okay, if you don't have the mark, you're not going to buy food. So therefore, you must have the mark. I think the idea gives some latitude to individuals to refuse the mark. You know, it's almost like the government imposing regulations. Let's say, for instance, back in the days when we had the 55 mile an hour speed limit. How terrible is that? Now we have road in Texas that has 85, been on that road, toll road near Austin, 85 miles per hour. That's nice. But legally, I can go 85 miles an hour. That's wonderful. But in the old days, when they had the 55 mile an hour speed limit, the states had to decide whether to implement that. So what does the government say? This is a universal law, 55. But states that do not participate do not receive any funding for their roads or highways. No tax dollars. So what does the government do? It's voluntary, right? But we're going to twist your arm. We're going to make you decide to go with the law. I think it's a similar type of deal here. It's imposed upon everyone, but if you don't, there's obviously, okay, you can choose not to receive the mark, but off with your head. So choose. Choose. That type of scenario. Next, it's used after the rapture, not before. Very important. We won't be here. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. So anything you hear implemented today about credit cards and all the 666, we may have the technology, but really, I think it'll be more simply a simple tattoo. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. We won't be here when this is implemented. And also, we cannot identify any world leader by the number 666. We can't say, oh, well, we're going to get later how people try to calculate this particular president or this individual is the Antichrist because his name adds up to 666. The only problem is with that is we're not in the tribulation period. We're in the mystery age of the church. And we'll be raptured before this is implemented. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8 says that, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. We already have rebellion that's working right now. Only he who now restrains will do so. He refers to a person who restrains. Only God can restrain angelic powers and those who practice evil to a certain degree. And this refers to the Holy Spirit. He, I believe, in the context refers to the Holy Spirit. Only he who now restrains, it's the Holy Spirit's working through the church, will do so until the restraining ministry is removed. He is taken out of the way. I think it'll be a reversal of Pentecost. When the church goes up, Holy Spirit goes with the church as the Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost. Here's a great question. Well, what's the problem with that? People say, how will people be saved? The Holy Spirit's removed. Well, keep in mind, the Old Testament people were saved by the Spirit of God. They were saved because the Spirit was omnipresent. The Spirit's resident in the church, but at the same time, being deity, is omnipresent. And only the restraining ministry is removed. There's other ministries that will not be in play, but this text emphasizes that idea of the Spirit holding back the revelation of the man of sin. He's restraining the appearance of the man of sin. Then he says here, and then the lawless one will be revealed. When the restraint is lifted, then that rebellious one, that lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume eventually at the second coming with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's not the rapture, the second coming. So we will not be able to identify currently in the church age any person as the Antichrist. Impossible. Antichrist will not be revealed. The word manifest means to be revealed. He will not be revealed until after the rapture of the church. So it's faulty to point to any person in past history or currently that you might think is an evil leader or dictator that is the Antichrist. All right, next point. This mark is used clearly in the second half of the tribulation period. Not even in the first half of Daniel's 70th week, but 3.5 years into it, finally when Antichrist rules over the entire world, only then will this mark be demanded. So the mark will not be implemented until the midpoint of the tribulation period. In the context of Revelation 13, verse 5, we see Antichrist was given a mouth speaking great things. Notice who is like the beast, verse 4, who is able to make war with him. He was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. That's 3.5 years, referring to the last half of the tribulation. And in the context, that's when he demands the mark. Only at the midpoint of the tribulation when he is world leader. So obviously we have to have a person who's leading the world who implements the mark of the beast. We don't have anyone leading the world today. We have globalism, creeping globalism. We're moving in that direction, but we don't have a world leader, and a world leader who is demanding universally the mark and no buying or selling. We don't see the fulfillment of those conditions today. And by the way, we haven't seen them in the past. We'll get into praetorism, trying to say that Nero's the Antichrist. We'll deal with that objection later down in the notes. Now, verse 17, this mark also indicates that it's needed to buy or sell. No one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the beast. So you can't buy goods and services, and you can't sell them unless you have that identifying mark visible on your forehead or on your right hand. Notice this mark is universally received by non-Christians, because everyone who receives a mark will be doomed to the lake of fire, and non-Christians will reject it universally. Look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. We see those who were beheaded because of the refusal to receive the mark right before Christ's kingdom is implemented. Revelation 24, I saw thrones and they that sat upon them. Judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God. Notice, beheaded, refusal to take the mark. Who had not worshipped the beast or his image. Notice, the image is associated with worship of the beast. Remember, the icon represents an entity behind it, or his image, and they had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And what happened to them, the ones who refused the mark, they lived and reigned. Lived means resurrection, by the way. This is the resurrection of tribulational martyrs with that one term, live. It's a term describing the resurrection of the body. They lived and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So this indicates that those tribulation martyrs who were beheaded did not receive the mark. It will be rejected by all Christians. And there will be many who refuse to receive the mark and will be beheaded. Now, the mark clearly shows worship and allegiance to the Antichrist. That's the purpose of it. It's not simply something that's cool that you want to show to your friends. It will be identification. This is what I identify the person whom I identifies with. Revelation 19, verse 20. Then the beast was captured with him, the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by whom he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshiped his image. Notice, those ones who received the mark also worshiped his image. So clearly they're identifying with the person by receiving the mark. There is a worship of the Antichrist once you receive the mark. We identify with him. We're aligned to him. Now, the false prophet is the one who promotes this or demands this. We already saw that in verse 15 and 16, Revelation 13. The destiny of all receiving the mark will be eternal, though it will be internally in the lake of fire, as far as that's concerned. Look at Revelation 14, 9 through 11. And a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on their forehead or on his hands. Notice, all those are combined together. Worshiping the beast is associated with what? Worshiping his image is associated with what? Receiving the mark. They're all three tied together and connected. He himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. They have no rest day or night, who worships the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. So eternal punishment in the lake of fire for all receiving the mark. Now, let's move on, going back to our text here. So those are some points indicating the nature and purpose of the mark and the time period of the mark. A second decree of the beast indicates the impossibility of transacting commerce without the mark. Our text in verse 17 says, no one may buy or sell except the one having the mark of the beast. The crowning achievement for the false prophet will be the global registration of all people. Think about that. Globally registering all people. He will use a totally controlled economy to secure the rule of the first beast, the Antichrist. So not only do we have politically a world leader, we have economically a world system of buying and selling. Think about that. Again, with global trade now, it's so easily to trade between nations. This will be something that will be easy to do. No one will be able to transact any commerce during that period of time apart from the mark. Now, certainly there might be some underground activities going on at this time. And some Christians may choose to raise their own food during that time, but we still have plagues going on of heat and destruction, so it'll be very difficult. By the way, Christians will suffer, some even will suffer from hunger during this time, because there's a passage that says they will hunger no more or thirst no more. So it indicates that there will be Christians who will suffer hunger because of this imposed regulation that's universally applied. No one will be able to buy or sell without pledging allegiance to the beast, receiving his mark, and submitting to the global registration system. So he will control all the commerce of the world. All the global trading and activity of the world will be controlled by the Antichrist. No one is able to buy. We have the Greek word agorazo from the word agora, marketplace. You go to the market to buy or purchase goods. So no one will be able to go to the marketplace, the agora, and purchase goods apart from this identification. Or even sell. The word sell means to dispose of property or provide services in exchange for money. Not even allowed to barter as far as that's concerned, unless you have the mark of the beast. No one will be able to buy or barter or trade or sell apart from the mark, except the one who has the mark. The mark is identified with the name of the beast. Notice, he who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. They're all identified and associated together. The mark is identified or defined as the number of the beast. The number of the beast. Now, New American Standard has the translation thus. He provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark. And he defines the mark as either the name of the beast or the number of his name. So the mark is defined as the name of the beast or the number of his name. Number of his name would be 666. 666 is equivalent to his name. We'll see how that works here in a minute. Now, the mark consists of the name. The number of the name, beast name, is one and the same with the name. The number 666 was actually derived from adding up the numerical value of the letters of a name. Under the third seal, the whole world as a whole will have difficulty obtaining the necessities of life. But here, deprivation of the necessities of life is a tool of the false prophet to punish the faithful for their loyalty to the Lamb. Revelation 7, 14 and 16. Here is wisdom, Sophia, verse 18. Now, Sophia is knowledge of hidden things. Knowledge of hidden things. So the Lord is revealing to the Christians living during that period of time a way to quickly identify the Antichrist and his ungodly nature. Here is a key he's throwing down. Here is something that you need to use wisdom with. He's revealing here this wisdom. Let him who has a mind. Understanding means nous. Now we all have minds, but not all of us think consistently with those minds or reason according to the God-given knowledge. The idea is, here is the one who has a mind for perception. So the idea is the mind is the organ of mental perception and apprehension. This perception, by the way, for the believer, only comes by those who accept the truthfulness of Scripture. Keep in mind, someone looking at the Bible in the tribulation period will see this. Oh, that's a fairy tale, bunch of nonsense here. The Bible is an old, outdated book written by old, archaic men and has no relevance to our society today. Even though the text will clearly indicate that, they'll reject it. See, how do we receive the things of the Lord? We need to be born again by the Spirit of God. And then we need to be walking in fellowship. And we have that mental perception by the Spirit of God. We will embrace the truthfulness of the Word of God. And the Christians living in that time will embrace the truthfulness of the Word of God. So but what does this indicate to me? This indicates that the Bible will be around. Even the Bible that we leave behind will be around in the tribulation period. What does that tell you about the Word of God? Even the Word of God in print. You cannot destroy it. You cannot destroy the written Word of God. Graphe, the Word of God in writing. We have copies of the Word of God, and the Word of God is living and abides forever. And it will be around by those, and those unsaved people will read it and will come to this passage. And we'll be studying the book of Revelation. Now, think about this. Well, the book of Revelation is a mysterious book, and we can't really understand it and perceive it. Here's wisdom. Let him who has understanding. Obviously, it was written to be what? understood. See? This indicates that the book of Revelation is an unveiling of Christ, not something hidden. Here is wisdom. And if you want wisdom, you have to do what? Pursue it, as Proverbs indicates. Desire it. And when you desire wisdom, God will give you wisdom. I believe that. Every person who desires wisdom from the Word of God and insight in how to live the Christian life, God will give that person that insight as they're positive to the teaching of God's Word. Now, look at Daniel chapter 12, verse 10. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. Notice, none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. See that? None of the wicked shall understand. You know, the unsaved people can't relate at all to these things at all. And it's a bunch of nonsense. They have no understanding at all because of sin. Sin blinds our understanding of the Word of God. We think it's IQ in order to understand the Scripture. We think it's human IQ and intelligence. It's spiritual IQ, SIQ. It's spiritual perception. It's not your mental ability. It's desire. If you desire the truth of God's Word, you desire to serve God, you desire to receive it, obey it, God will show you wisdom. That's how wisdom is acquired. You've got to pursue it. You've got to engage it. You've got to go steady with the lady Sophia, as the proverb writer indicates. You've got to pursue her. And so we need to pursue the Word of God, and when we do, we will have understanding. The book of Revelation won't be a hidden book. It will be opened up to us. And God wrote it to church age believers, seven churches. Remember, originally, the book of Revelation was written to seven churches about future events that would have great application to them. They don't necessarily have to be living in the same time period for the book of Revelation to apply to them. That's a false thinking. You know, this idea that people say, well, the book of Revelation must have been fulfilled in the days of the church, otherwise it has no relevance. Well, are you saying that history, we didn't live in the days of Moses? We didn't live in the era of the judges? We haven't lived in the time of the period of the kings? Are you saying that just because we don't live during that period of time when these events are fulfilled, it has no practical application to us? We can't read the Old Testament history, study history, and derive the lessons that God wants us to learn from history? We can't study the future and see how God interacts and deals with Christians in the future in order to see that we need to persevere, we need to follow Christ, we need to live by faith as they will and as the faith heroes in the past have done? Is there no practical application for us? So that's a narrow mindset that tries to eliminate the importance of the book of Revelation. And I think it's clear. The problem is people don't interpret literally, and that's where they get fouled up. If you don't interpret the book of Revelation literally, yes, there's symbols, but the Bible interprets those symbols. See? And then we have to go to the Old Testament, compare Scripture with Scripture. The Bible, I think, the book of Revelation is actually an easier book to be understood than some others. So, you have mental perception by the Spirit of God, then you'll accept the Word of God. If you don't want to live by it, if you don't want it to be guided by its precepts, this will be a mystery, it'll be an enigma. It'll be foreign to even those living during that period of time. So this bit of information is specifically for those living during that time so that they'll be able to identify that leader. Now, the primary purpose for warning believers about the mark is to let them know that when it is the form of that when it is in the form of numbers, the name of the beast will be 666. Thus, believers who are going through the sequence of events of the tribulation, when offered the number 666 for their forehead or right hand, are to reject it. Even it means death. This also means that anything prior to this future time period is not the mark of the beast that is to be avoided. Anything that happens today with so-called 666, don't freak out if your license plate reads 666. Or if, as I was in McDonald's in Chicago, Interestingly, I was transferring on a plane ride to Ohio a couple years ago, and I ordered my lunch, and it came up to be $6.66. So we're not to be freaked out. Oh my goodness, you know, the mark of the beast is here in Chicago. I can make the connection there, but no, we don't go that far and try to do that. Come up with that, you know. It's interesting, at Dallas Seminary, the one mailbox that students avoid, I don't know if they have ever taken, is the mailbox 666. No one would want to take there. I'm not going to take this mailbox number 666, you know. Well, don't worry about that if your license plate reads 666 or all that. I wouldn't deliberately try to, you know, you can customize your license plates. I wouldn't say, I want my license plate to be 666. I don't want to do that. But if it just happens to be that way, don't freak out. See, it means nothing until that period of time. Okay, now, he indicated that believers there will be able to calculate this. The word calculate was used of a small stone or pebble by the Greeks and Egyptians in their calculation. You see the abacus and adding up of various numbers and even using stones. Later beads were used, but this is a way of adding up digits and calculating a total. So I think this is primarily addition. The calculate indicates to me addition. You'll be able to add up his number. Now, how does that work? The number, arithmos, interestingly, we get a word arithmetic from that Greek word, the number, arithmos, we get the word arithmetic in the English, refers to numerology, which was quite familiar to the people of ancient times, since each Greek letter has a numerical value. So if you look at alpha, you say, okay, I'm going to assign the numerical value of 1 to that, or first. That's why we see 1 Peter, alpha, Peter. Alpha represents 1. Beta, 2 Peter, would be beta Peter, or beta John. So the Greek letter beta would be number 2. And then once you get up to 9, the next letter would be 10. You already have 1 through 9, so you have 10. And then the next letter will be 20, 30, 40, until you get to 100. And then the next letter will be 100, 200, 300, 400, 500. Once you get to 900, then the next letter will be 1,000. So you can add up by that that system an equivalent to the person's name. I think I did in English there, John Brummett. I didn't do Patrick, but it's interesting. I was thinking, I wonder if my number adds up to 666. So I add up, I think it was 965. This is the numerical value of John Brummett. So you might be surprised what your number adds up to, but we're not to get into numerology here. None of you here are the Antichrist at all. We know that, don't have to worry about that. So the idea is, I think this would be added up, the number. So by the adding up of the number, you'll be able to identify the person of the Antichrist. Now, the beast here, of course, is the Antichrist. So here's wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number, use arithmetic, the number that identifies the person of the Antichrist or the beast. Now, he indicates it's the number of a man, meaning it's the number of the human being and not God. It represents man and his best achievement apart from God. I think Walbert has an interesting quote about this. The number 666 is one short of perfection. If you look at the number 7, 7 pictures perfection. That's why we see in Revelation 7 seals, 7 trumpets, 7 bowls, 7 angels. The number 7 is used extensively as God's number. 6 falls short of that. So 6 is one less than 7, and it falls short. It's the number of human beings apart from God's perfection. Man as an imperfect being. That's one way to look at 666. But I do think numerically, though, since his number will be calculated, it will represent whatever his name is. It'll come up to 666. We have the chi here standing for the 600, x here, xi, standing for 60, and the sigma standing for 6. And so the number adds up to 60 plus 60 plus 6, or 666. That's your English translation. But in the Greek, that's what it looks like in the Greek there. The first three letters here. Now, the number 6 being the number of man, this is Walbert, I think, may indicate that 666 symbolizes the zenith of man's power. This power is consecrated in the apocalyptic beast of Revelation 13, 1 through 8, identified by many as the Antichrist. According to the Genesis narrative, man was created on the sixth day. Now, that's interesting. He was appointed days of labor and toll, and those are 6. A Hebrew slave was to serve 6 years. For 6 years, the land was to be sown. Under the sixth seal, appalling and universal catastrophe upon mankind ensues. So again, it's the number of a man. As the number 7 denotes that which is perfect or complete, 6 being short of that signifies human imperfection and toil, although a demonstration of human strength. It should also be noted that the image of gold set up by Nebuchadnezzar for his own glorification was 60 cubits. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel 3 can be said to point forward to the even deeper and satanic evil of Revelation 13. The one foreshadows the other. Thus we may say that this triple 6 is the fullest, highest development of man under direct satanic control. It is a combination of civil, religious, and political powers satanically inspired. It is, so far as man can do, the complete setting aside of God as the supreme ruler. And that's what that number symbolizes. Now, students have taken the word calculate to refer to the ancient practice of geometria. Ancient languages, including Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, use standard letters for their alphabet as numerical signs. For example, alpha in Greek stands for the number 1. We already dealt with that. Beta, the number 2, and so forth. Iota, 10. And therefore, iota, beta for 12. The Hebrew alphabet also has numerical value. Aleph stands for 1. Bet stands for 2. Gimel for 3, and so on. And therefore, this would amount to something like this. 1 through 10, 9, and then 10 through 100, and then 200, 400, and so forth. You can even do that with our English alphabet. Now, Irenaeus, the 2nd century, mentions that many names of contemporary persons and entities were being offered in his day as solution to this number mystery. So, not only in our day are people trying to calculate this up, shortly after the Bible was written, Irenaeus, an early church father, indicates the same thing was going on with using the number 666. Yet, interestingly enough, Irenaeus said he cautions against the practice and believed that the name of the Antichrist was deliberately concealed because he did not exist in John's day. So Irenaeus said we need to be careful using this calculation system until Antichrist is revealed. The name would be secret till the time of his future appearance in the world. Irenaeus expressly refutes the attempt of many to identify the name with any of the Roman emperors. So Nero is out, according to early church history. I'm going to show you how people pick Nero and they add up his name equals 666, and therefore Nero, according to Praetorius, must be the Antichrist. So Irenaeus refutes that, though. He feels, however, the geometria approach is John's intended meaning, but warns the church against endless speculation. So I think that's an appropriate warning for us today. We're not to go around trying to speculate or trying to figure out his name. Only those in the tribulation will be able to calculate and figure that out. It's for their benefit. Now, a number of other suggestions are made in that the 6 Roman numerals add up to 666. You know, your older movies, they have MCMXLV11, you know, you have movies. I always try to add up the year, you know, it's in Roman numerals. And you have 1900 MCM, and then L is 50, and then X is 10, 60, and then V is 5, and then 11, 1957. So, you know, a movie was made in 1957. You see the Roman numerals at the end. It's interesting, though, that the first set of Roman numerals add up to 666. That's interesting. J.B. Smith says this alludes to the possibility of a Roman being the Antichrist. But Smith also adds all the numbers from 1 to 36 total 666. So you add up number 1 to 36 and that equals 666. So I think we're trying to get into, you're getting into speculation. Beast in the evil sense occurs exactly 36 times in Revelation. So the name beast occurring 6 times 6, which is 36 times in the book of Revelation. See where we're headed. You can use all kinds of various systems to speculate about the identity here. But more than likely, I think Greek letters will be used for the identification. Not Roman, not Aramaic, not even Hebrew. Now, identifying Nero as the Antichrist, you had to go to Hebrew lettering. You got to translate from Greek back to Hebrew, take the Hebrew lettering, and then use the title of Nero to come up with one letter dropped in the spelling to come up to 666. That's how the prayers do it. Think about that. We're going from Greek to Hebrew. We're taking Hebrew. We're taking the title of Nero. And then we're not using his actual name, as the Bible indicates, his name, not his title and his name. And then we're misspelling it, dropping a letter, and then that does add up to 666. See? I think that's fanciful, but that's what the praetors do. Well, see, wow, Nero's name adds up to 666. Well, how did you get to that? How did you derive that conclusion? See? So we're going to get into, I don't know if we have time, I think I'll probably say this for next week because it's extended. I need you to be alert for this particular part of the message, not the end, the beginning. It gets pretty technical, so I want you to be alert, but we'll go through the so-called support of the praetorists for using Nero as the Antichrist. And the problem with that is it doesn't match all the biblical facts. Here's, I think, the bottom line conclusion. Even if Nero's name adds up to 666, was Nero the Antichrist? Well, we have a lot of things to look at. Did Nero have a false prophet who called fire down from heaven? Obviously not. Did Nero live in a seven-year period called the tribulation? Did Nero rule over the entire world? No, he did not. And on and on, the very things that Antichrist, did Nero demand the beheading of individuals who did not receive a tattoo on their right hand or forehead? Obviously not. Did Nero resurrect from the dead, arise from the dead at the midpoint of his career? No, he did not. I mean, you go and you have so-called rumors about Nero's resurrection, but a rumor is not the same as a literal resurrection. That's not a prayer. Well, there were rumors about Nero's resurrection, so that fits the text. No, it doesn't. Here's the problem when you look at any type, you're dealing with prophecy. All the deep biblical details must match. Not one detail, not two details. All the biblical facts must match. And the problem is people pull out one or two things that sound interesting, that match, and ignore the rest of the biblical facts about a particular prophetic person. All the ducks supposedly must line up in a row. Everything must match, not one or two items. It's like doing the jigsaw puzzle. And you're putting together the blue sky section last. Everything looks the same. Well, I got this piece that looks like this blue piece, but does it fit next to this piece? And sometimes it almost does, so you force it, and you find out later that piece doesn't fit. See? And that's the thing when you look at the Bible. You got to have all the facts that fit together before you come to a conclusion. All right, let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the scriptures this morning. And we pray that we might have wisdom and understanding in our day and age, which is proliferated by a lot of false deceivers and deception and human speculation, human viewpoint. Help us to be clear on the teaching of the Word of God. And we are looking not for the Antichrist's return, but we're looking for your Son's return, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will come and rapture the church into heaven before that great and terrible day of the Lord. We thank you for that, Father, and we pray, Lord, that we might continue to have skill and understanding as we walk in fellowship with you and are filled with the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray if there's anyone listening, they have never trusted in your Son as the Savior, I pray that they might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross for their sins and rose bodily from the dead, and then they will be saved. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.